To you then, Alexandra.
Okay, thanks, Victor. Hi, everyone. I mean, it's great that the Zoom technology worked this time and everyone is here on time, so we can start on time and finish at 3:30 today. So just before I start with the topic of today and going through the structure of this seminar, just to tell you, just to remind you of the logistics. So if you want to use video, that's fine, that's up to you. Or there will be some interactive parts of the seminar. So if you want to participate, you can obviously put questions on the chat and I will look at them at different points of the seminar. But also you can speak using the mic and using the video if you prefer. If you're not speaking, please do mute yourselves. Please do click the mute button so we don't really avoid background noise during the, especially during the more lecture part of it. Also, just one thing to mention before I start is that some of you have asked some questions via email, especially around looking at some of your previous work, giving some feedback or other more general questions about the topics. So I will try to address all those questions in the seminar. So if you send me some questions via email, I will address it in the next seminar or I will pass it to Anastasia or the other teachers on the course. And that's because I think that it will benefit everyone, because a lot of the questions are asked are, you know, very important topics that will actually benefit everyone to have answers to in the class. And of course, we can look at some, as Victor mentioned in the last session, we can also look at use some of your own essays as examples, especially when we do some live marking or live feedback exercises in the next week. So a couple of you did already send me some essays, some previous essays that you already had some feedback for from your tutors. So thank you to those who sent this to me. So if any other students want to send the essays, please do, and I will try to incorporate the material in the next seminars, especially in the live marking session. So now I will start the screen share. So it will be like last time, you'll have a PowerPoint and then we'll have a more interactive discussion whilst we go through the slides. And after that, we will do some live note-taking exercises on a different text than the one that you worked at home. So I'll see how this works. Okay. Okay, so I hope everyone does see this. If are there any issues, please do let us know in the chat, so Victor will try to sort that out for you. So the second week, so last week we looked at marking criteria, so the very basics of getting started with your essays and understanding the core academic skills that will be marked regardless of what level you're at or whether you're writing an essay or a dissertation. And this week, we will look at what I think is the foundation, really, of excellent essays and dissertations, which is having good notes and organized notes from your readings. A lot of people, including myself, use the word note-taking, but, you know, actually, when you think about taking notes, I like to think about note-taking as note-making, and that means that you actually input some of your own thoughts in the note-taking process, and we look at how you can incorporate critical thinking and how the process of note-taking or note-making can actually develop your critical thinking and make you score higher on those originality tick boxes in the marking criteria that we looked at last week. So we look at two very interrelated topics today: how to read academic texts critically. So we'll look at some of the theory behind this skill as well. And also the practical part of the seminar would be to improve your note-taking skills and to look at some of the methods, efficient methods of note-taking for university readings. Okay. So a lot of us have something like this in our homes, so a lot of a collection of notes or a very, you know, big folder of different files with a lot of notes. The idea is that if you work on this skill and if you develop this process, you shouldn't end up with something like this and then think, how do I find the reading from, I don't know, Bourdieu or Karl Marx or whatever. How do I find this particular reading in this pile of notes? So in the seminar, the key learning outcome is to improve your critical reading through this process of efficient note-taking. And the structure, just so everyone knows the structure of the seminar. So we'll look first, as we do last week and as we do every week, we'll have an interactive discussion that you can share your thoughts on the home exercise. So for those who just joined the course and couldn't have time to do the home exercise, the home exercise for today was a short academic reading, a 10-page academic reading, and the task was, please do read this reading and take notes as you would normally take notes, without, you know, just as normally you do for your academic essays and your dissertation. And then just send the notes to me. So we'll look at some of the examples that you sent me, and we'll look at some of the questions as well. Then we'll move, after this discussion, we'll move on to the theory part, as usual. So some slides about, so I kind of divided those slides into note-taking aims, methods, and also tools of note-taking. So we'll look at the theory behind the skill. And then we'll move on to practice. And I will show two different methods, because the method that you use for note taking depends really on why are you taking notes. So we'll first look at that purpose. So why I am taking those notes from this particular reading, what I'm trying to find, how do I intend to use this knowledge. And then we'll look at two methods that kind of satisfy different aims of note taking. So one that's like a kind of quick method of, I named it as search, find, note, following the kind of an outline style. So we'll look at in this into this in more detail. And then we'll look at one type of critical note taking method with some kind of, yeah, some structure that I use personally and other PhD students also use. And yeah, at the end we'll have questions and discussions as always, and I'll also answer some of the questions that you sent to me via email in advance. So I will address those questions first, then I will take everyone's questions as well from the chat, or if you want to ask a question directly. Okay, so just to start with the home exercise. So first of all, thank you for those who did send the material. It's actually, you know, it's very useful to have your home exercises, at least some of those, before the class, because then I can incorporate some of the examples in the slides and actually can get direct feedback, and, you know, everyone can benefit from this discussion. So one, you know, we often take notes, and I did take notes, especially as an undergraduate student, and we often don't really think about the process of taking notes, and that's because we have very limited time. We plan to do a lot of reading, and it's quite unusual to stop and think why I'm taking those specific notes, why I'm taking notes this way, is there any more efficient method I could use, is there any better way I could structure my notes. So just to kind of start the conversation and share your thoughts on the home exercise, and you can contribute to this even if you didn't have time to do exercise because you joined later the course. Just some questions that would help you think, you know, start thinking about this process. And then I will show you some examples from your colleagues in this class, and we will comment on some of those examples together. So does anyone want to share either on the chat and or with the camera and voice or just voice? So what is the purpose of note-taking? I mean, it sounds like a very basic question, but why are you taking notes from your readings? How do you actually use the notes? Can you identify one, two purposes, different purposes? Are there different purposes depending on what essays are you writing, on whether you write different types of academic writing? So yeah, what is the purpose of note-taking? Please do share your thought. I will open the chat for this bit, so I'll read the answers from both the chat, and if you want to contribute as well with voice, please feel free to do so.
Hey Alexandra, this is Charlie. Can I just talk through voice?
Please, yeah. Charlie.
So I think the purpose of note taking for academics is to, one of them is to, for sure, to memorize, because there's going to be a lot in one reading, a lot that we can use in our essays in one reading. So to memorize them, because if we just read through without note-taking, we easily forget what we read.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. So in a way, it's like a record, especially for lecture notes. You want to remember what the lecturer has said, and especially if you don't have recordings of the sessions, it's a way to kind of keep a record of what you have learned and come back to it, especially for exams. And often the purpose of note-taking for exams slightly differs the purpose of note-taking for specific types of academic writing. Okay, so now I think after Charlie, Damilare wants to speak as well.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I think the purpose of taking notes is, in the case of the essays, to have a skeleton for, a skeleton towards the build-up of one's essay. So I think that's one of the purposes of taking notes. When one reads, goes through the articles, the articles that you need to read up, it's just like a skeleton to build up your essay, to have a rough idea of what to do.
Yeah, great answer. Thank you so much. It's about also helping you think about the structure, because you have notes that could perhaps inspire you of how to structure your essay, but also how to structure your arguments and ideas. So yes, definitely, it's kind of a skeleton of what you're going to write, in a way, the basis of what you're going to write in your essay or dissertation. So we have a couple of contributions from the chat as well. So Gina saying that the purpose of the note is not to constantly have to go back to the reading materials. Yes, indeed, if you imagine reading, 20 sources for a specific piece of writing, then you have to spend a lot of time to go back if you don't have those more summarized material in the form of notes. And then Sarah says that notes helps her writing and synthesizing different points. So yes, this whole purpose, the purpose of synthesis, of summarizing particular arguments or perspectives in the literature. So yeah, we have plenty of different answers. So I think it just shows that the purposes can vary depending on what you're writing, but also you have some core purposes that are true regardless of what you are doing with the reading material. So such as helping you remember things, helping you summarize things, or helping you kind of track different themes or perspectives through the literature. I want to go through some questions. Maybe a couple of you could share some thoughts about you working on your home exercise. And I put multiple questions here, and don't feel that you have to answer everything, but just some questions to think about. And maybe then we can have a couple of contributions of those of you who did the class exercise and think about how you went through the process. What steps did you take when doing note-taking home exercise? So what was the structure of, your process? Did you type as you read the text? Did you read the text, type as you read, and made any additions after you finished reading? Very crucial question here to think about your own note-taking process and thinking about how efficient you are in your note-taking is, how do you actually decide what is worthwhile to write down and what isn't? Very important question is about understanding. I often did some notes as an undergraduate student, and I went back to them and I couldn't really understand what the purpose was. So with a friend or someone who perhaps isn't an expert in your field, or someone who didn't do that reading, would they be able to understand your notes? Very importantly for critical thinking, developing your critical thinking is, actually looking at your notes and thinking, how much did you actually use your own words as opposed to copy-pasting information directly from the text. So yes, as I said, don't feel that you have to answer every single question, but maybe just take a few seconds to reflect on those points. And then if one or two of you could share with your colleagues what you thought about the exercise and how did you think through those questions, that would be helpful, and to move on then to the examples. So I'll open the chat again. You can share again via chat or voice, or raise your hand and Victor could be able to let me know who wants to participate. So yeah, just, you know, literally like 30 seconds saying, you know, this is how I approach the exercise and this is what I think about a couple of those questions and what I found interesting about this process.
Yes, I think we have Damilato raised his hand, or is that from before? Sorry if I... maybe that was from before Damilato. I'm not sure. Okay, oh, Charlie, sure. Charlie raised his hand with an emoji in the chat group.
Yeah, go on, Charlie.
Yeah, so I can go first. So just go through point by point. So while I was doing the note-taking for that article, for the that observational study, the home exercise, I didn't really type as I read. I was more likely to highlight some of the key points first. And then after, for example, after one page, it's actually, I think to me, quite a lot to read in like page per page, because loads of data and loads of points, the quotes, the authors used from others. So for me, it's like I highlight them first and then I use copy and paste some of the keywords or key sentences into the Word document. And then I make some additional points for myself. It's very simultaneous. I was like, okay, what can I add? What can I expand? Or how can I criticize? Yeah. And what, let me see, what, how did you decide? What? So I would say, because we did this home exercise without like an essay to cooperate with. So I would take anything that's directional. Yeah. Mm. So if I'm writing an essay related, then I will only like write down the data or the points that can be related. Otherwise, just ignore. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your answer. Yeah, I think two very important points here. Like first is about, you know, a lot of students, including myself in the past, you know, used to highlight first. I often just highlight on the PDF and I would plan to take notes after, but often the highlighting is as far as I got in terms of the reading or some comments on the side. But what you said that's actually very good for developing critical reading is even if you do copy paste a quote or a part of a important bit of the text that you find, you've mentioned that you thought about what other things I could add. So that's the start of you critically thinking about the text is, okay, I found this piece of information interesting in this paragraph, I do copy this sentence, but then what could I add about this? How does this relate to the topic? And often, yes, we do, there's this like quick kind of search and retrieve type of method that you would just think, okay, I want to find out about how researchers used interviewing for this particular topic for the experiences of, let's say, I don't know, Romanian students in the UK. And then you just look at the methodology section, like you said, you just kind of retrieve the information you need as opposed to reading the whole text. So again, it's about the purpose. So different kind of purposes of reading have different strategies of note-taking. And we'll look at this in more detail later when we speak about theory. Did you want to add anything else?
Yes, I would just quickly add two information for the last two points. So I would say usually I imagine a friend won't be able to understand my notes because they are not that logical. They're too young. I don't think that's a good thing, so which I should improve. And how much also I think I copy for the copy information is still more than my own words. That's it.
Yeah, I think, thank you for that answer. I think that, you know, often when we're very pressured with deadlines, it's, you know, it's really tempting to do more copy-pasting and kind of summarizing notes rather than actually thinking about the text. But that's, again, a skill that gets developed over time. And I think if you start with deciding on a strategy that will look later on at different strategies of note-taking and you stick to different strategies for different purposes of note-taking, then you could develop your critical thinking even more, and we'll look this in the live examples. I think we have another comment from Yonso on the chat saying, I usually don't write down my comments when taking notes. I just focus on understanding the article. Yeah, I think sometimes when we have there are different types of academic reading, some are easier to follow, like let's say a report on certain experimental study, reporting on the data, but others are more, perhaps a more theoretical article that's more complex to follow, that's more, has more complicated lines of argument. And yet it's often quite difficult. And again, this comes through practice. It's quite difficult to focus on what do I think about the argument and the text if I focus on actually understanding the argument. So I would say the critical thinking and critical analysis part of it comes after you are able to, you know, identify the argument first, you know, summarize the key point, and then the other step, the next step after that would be to think critically about some of those arguments and perspectives. So unless anyone, does anyone else want to comment on this before moving on to some examples? Think the there's no one else on the chat, so I mean, if you have other thoughts, please feel free to put them in the comments in the chat, and then I will address them later on as we go. We'll have different interactive exercises throughout the this. Okay, so now a few of you sent some examples, and I only could incorporate some examples that arrived before, I think before 12 p.m. today when I was making the last touches on the slide. And I think there's something, another comment from Victoria before we move on to the example. So Victoria is saying, I usually write comments besides the PDF reading. This part is an advantage, and then collect or analyze them after I finished lots of readings. Yes, I think that's another type of strategy, kind of skim reading some articles and highlighting on the PDFs. And then after that, thinking which of those articles I read a bit more, I read in a more superficial way, which of those articles could I read in more detail, and then kind of build on my note taking or categorize my notes accordingly. So Damilaria wants to speak as well. Please do contribute.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you.
All right. Thank you. I think one challenge I had with the article was that I never had, there was no hefty topic. Because I think most times when I try to take notes, I take notes based on what I'm looking for, based on the topic. And that's what I focus on in the article. So for that article, I was kind of, I was neither here nor there. I was like, okay, what should I focus on in this article? So it gave me some challenge. I mean, so I had some challenge in taking down the notes. However, one of the things I did while trying to take down the notes, just like you said, there's a place of skimming, skimming through the whole article, looking at the layout. And looked at the abstract. So what are they trying to achieve with the article? I looked at the introduction, then I went to the conclusion. Mm. And what was the conclusion of the whole article before I started looking at each of the sections, from the introduction to the background and introduction, then to the body, where they have the different sections, and the results. It's an observational study, you know, that has to do with some statistical analysis. What was the results? After I'd looked at the methodology, how did they achieve, the study? How did they achieve what research method was employed in achieving the study? So those were the things I looked at. But I had the challenge of tailoring the note, because the note is based on what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Based on what I'm looking for my own essay. So that was where I had a little bit of challenge.
Thanks for your comment. Yeah, I think that is, was one of the purposes of the exercise in the first place, because including myself, we usually know what we're looking for, broadly speaking. We have an essay question, we have a topic, we kind of set up out an argument, and then we find literature that speaks to different perspectives of the topic that we're addressing in our essay or dissertation. Whereas I think it's actually quite useful exercise to read a reading from another discipline or a reading on a topic that you're not necessarily writing on or you don't necessarily have a lot of knowledge on, because then you kind of, in a way, force yourself to think about what is the actual process of this. It's, you know, if I look at, if I write an essay on, I don't know, like a certain type of theory on cultural capital, for example, and I know exactly what I'm looking for, my keywords will kind of dictate the articles that will that I will read, and then I will kind of categorize the articles, saying, well, in the first stage, I kind of look at the broad arguments, trying to identify different perspectives. Then in the next stage, I will look, read in more detail different book chapters or articles, and have a more critical analysis at that stage. But we'll look in a bit more detail in the theory part about how those different purposes can be identified and then matched with the method and the tools that you use. So yeah, thanks everyone for the comments. Very good points, very interesting points, and we'll come back to some of those themes later on in the theory part as well. So yes, now some examples from you. I included some examples for those who sent the home exercises by this morning. And yeah, again, they do what I found interesting in the examples that you sent to me from your own note taking, is that they do kind of represent some of the most common ways that students take notes, including how I did take notes when I was an undergraduate and a master's student. We spoke about highlighting. So it's very common, especially for just kind of browsing the literature and we don't necessarily want to read something in very much detail. It's very common that we highlight on the PDF or, you know, on a print version, and then maybe take some notes on the side with some clarification, or maybe if you don't understand something like a term there, then we would note an explanatory note for that. But yeah, that's an example from one of you. I won't name anyone in those examples. So when we use the class exercise, you're kind of like sharing, and of course we'll know which one is your example, but the idea is to benefit the discussion. And this is, no kind of strategy of note-taking is right or wrong. It's just, the question is, like, is it fit for the purpose that you're doing this reading? So often when I read, for example, for, besides my academic roles and teaching, I work in the policy field as well. So often when I read a very long policy paper or like legislation, I will just highlight things that kind of interest me, that are useful for my purpose. And it doesn't mean it's a wrong strategy of reading the information. But then you have to think, how do you start from this and then go into a more critical way to organize your notes? So that's a very common strategy. So in a way, if you use the highlighting or like comments on the side, it's quicker to go through the reading. You could perhaps cover more materials when you prepare for your essay or dissertation. But then it may also take you more time to be able to find the notes and go back to it, or identify the different themes or perspectives in the literature. And also there's a bit less time that you have during the process to start a process of reflection, because often when I'm reading something and just highlighting through the text, I highlight as I read, maybe comment on the side as I read, and I don't necessarily stop and, I don't know, go outside for a couple of minutes and think, you know, why does the author actually argue that? Does the evidence support the conclusion, and so on? So yeah, it's a strategy for certain types of purposes, not so much for others. As we spoke, this is just a part of the notes. It was a longer notes document. It's another strategy is to go, it's quite kind of an outline style. So the articles would have usually a set outline. They will have an introduction, they will have results and discussion section, they'll have a conclusion, they may have a context or, you know, a methodology section usually. And a lot of students write the heading. So I say, what is the information that I want to use from the introduction? What's the relevant information from this other section? And that's a very common style that students use. In a way, it takes longer time than highlighting, but again, it's the question is, okay, so if you go through an outline style and you take the information that's relevant to me from the introduction, then from different subheadings, so it was one of the subheadings in the reading, how do I then develop my own interpretation of it, and how am I able to organize my notes, especially if you do a literature review and you want to identify the main themes in the literature. And then we have also the other style that some of you used is kind of this, in a way, it's also an outline style. So it sometimes does go logically throughout the text, but it also does some additions. For example, identifying advantages and disadvantages of a certain approach, or kind of just very bullet pointed key points that, you know, very short, not kind of key points and bullet points, not formulated in sentences that you could use quickly, like when you go through the notes, because they're quite short. But then again, it's what if you need to use some more detail. So in a way, before we go to the theory part, a lot of approaches, if you want to read a huge amount of literature in a very quick time, a lot of the approaches that students use generally are very, very helpful to kind of minimize the amount of time or kind of the amount of notes that you have. But you always have to ask yourself, you know, what will this information, how will this information actually be used in my essay? So last week, some of you may remember, we looked at one, how to use, in the live essay marking exercise of how students use references in their essay. And we looked at how the tendency for a lot of the essays that are below the first or distinction range is to summarize key arguments from the reading, saying, I don't know, this author, like Smith, said this or argued this one sentence, then Jones argued this other thing. And this really is based on note-taking, because if you have detailed notes from the start and if you have your own critical interpretation of the reading, this will make your life easier when you write the essay, and you'll avoid this style of simply summarizing the very core ideas that you would find in the abstract. And in a way, you'll also avoid the marker looking at your essay saying, this student only read the abstract, they didn't read the whole text, and you want to show that you engage with the text. And often, even if you read something like, you know, if you're interested in a certain method and you read the methodology for one type, from one article, for example, you can still develop critical thinking on that particular aspect. And we'll show some of the examples later on as well. So now I will go through some slides with like some theory, looking at the purpose of note-taking, the methods of note-taking, and the tools you can use. And then after this, we'll go into the live examples where, again, you have an opportunity to share your thoughts and contribute to the discussion, either via chat or voice. So, okay. So some of you mentioned in the comments earlier that usually when you have an essay, you have your purpose and you know what you're kind of looking for. Yeah, my advice would be to be concise and organized and write down what you actually use. But the issue with this is that often, I mean, if you're starting an essay with a very clear argument and you know you already have some knowledge on the topic and you already have a very good essay plan that we'll discuss with Anastasia next week, or if you have a very clear argument already, yes, it's quite easy to just write down quite effectively what you'd actually use because you already decide on the structure and have this argument. However, the world is not always perfect in that sense, and sometimes we look at the topic and think, well, actually, I don't know so much about this topic, or maybe I choose a topic that is very interesting to me that I actually want to learn more about, and I won't choose like a topic that I know a lot about in for my dissertation, for example. And then it's quite difficult to see to decide what you'll actually use in the notes and how to prioritize the readings and your note taking. But there are some strategies around that, so I'll just share a few tips before going into more theory. So one key tip is to use reading lists efficiently. So often you'll get, you know, students will get in their undergrad or master's a very, very long reading list for each module. And often when students come to my office hours, they ask, so do I have to read everything on this list? Or how many of the additional readings do I have to read to be able to get a good grade? What kind of, how many references should I have from those reading lists? So one way to strategize around this and to prioritize what you're reading is to actually organize your reading list first before you actually pick the readings and download the readings. So let's say you have a list of 5 different books, whole books, 400 pages each. And instead of just saying, okay, I'll start with the first one and then move to the second one, and then like 2 weeks later, I'm still on the fourth one. It's actually a good idea to look at the table of contents before, or look at some book reviews, or look at different, or even the index of some books to think about. Let's say I want to write about, I don't know, like my topic is EU immigration in the UK, and there's a book about immigration in Europe, and it may have a chapter about immigration in the UK. So I wouldn't spend time reading the other chapters if I wanted to find a specific type of information. So one strategy is actually to write, I used to have a reading list and write down next to each reading, like highlight the ones that I want to read and write down the specific pages that I want to look at. And in that way, you'll also feel better about the preparation process, because the reading list of 200 items will suddenly turn into maybe a couple of hundred pages, because you'll be able to identify the pages that you actually need. Then, yes, that's something we discussed, but decide what you're looking for before. I know it's difficult sometimes, especially if you approach a new topic. But you know, think about this: what do I already know about my essay topic, and what do I still need to know? And make a list of this. What, you know, what I am already good at. What do I already know about this topic? Then what do I still need to know? And try to write down as many categories, you know, on that list, because it could help you find good readings in easier way. And this will also, in a way, to speed up the reading process, because you'll be more strategic about what readings you choose, but also it will help you focus on your argument as well, because you will be able to identify, so what are the gaps, and then you'll be able to construct an argument more effectively. And we'll look at argument in session 4 as well in more detail. And then, yes, we discussed this in one of the questions for the home exercise discussion was, you know, how much do I copy paste and how much do I use my own words? Yes, it's less time consuming to just copy paste, but I think, you know, reading fewer readings that you'll be able to use more effectively and demonstrate the critical thinking as a core academic skill will actually be better than trying to cover a lot of readings more superficially. So what I would say in your notes is, yes, you can use direct quotes. Often you have some brilliant readings and you have a sentence, you know, a quote, and you think, can I rephrase this? Actually, no, the author perfectly encapsulated this in this sentence, but use them with moderation. So use direct quotes, but try to have shorter quotes, you know, not a 5-10 line paragraph, and try to think, you know, whether you can rephrase it in your own words, adding your own interpretation. And my strategy that I used a lot, and I think it will help a lot of you if you haven't tried it already, is that if you struggle writing in your own words, just try this exercise. So, you know, you open an article and then you try to read a short section of the text, let's say the first 2 paragraphs of the results findings. Without taking any notes or highlighting anything. So just read it. Then you close the tab of the reading, or you put the printed reading aside. Maybe go, you know, have a cup of tea or coffee, like go to the kitchen before, and then sit down again and think about, you know, what I can remember, and write down in your own words. And this could, you know, this exercise, if you did this, like, you know, every couple of days or so, or every time when you start a reading, you can mix and match different strategies, but this could actually develop a lot of this skill, because in a way it will force you to think about, how do I write this in my own words, and then you can You can use that that app that I showed in one of the taster sessions as well. I think it was called the most dangerous writing app that you have to write, otherwise your writing will disappear. So do try to do this strategy if you struggle formulating your notes in your own words. And then finally, like the final tip is do record your sources, because often, especially if you have a tendency to copy paste paragraphs and not attribute page numbers, it may, you know, it's quite time consuming to go back at the end and identify every page number, or perhaps you had a Word document with several reading notes in one document, and then you will struggle to actually reference them correctly. So yes, the more about referencing and those strategies will be in seminar 6, which will be taught by Carrie. So now we'll look in at the purpose, then the methods, then the tools. So the first step is to identify the purpose of your note taking, and we already discussed some of the purposes in your great comments earlier on the class exercise. Having emphasizing critical thinking and reading being a skill in all marking criteria doesn't mean that you won't have instances of when you're reading something and surface reading is appropriate or a search and retrieve type of reading is appropriate. It's just that you have to demonstrate critical engagement to a good extent in order to get good grades. But when you start your process, let's say you write a literature review for your master's thesis, you can start with more surface reading of the sources, especially if you're not familiar with the details of the topic. You want to know what are the broad trends in the literature, and you can read maybe, you know, many articles. You can just read the abstract or read a bit about, you know, a bit in the intro and the conclusion, as, you know, Damilare said and others said a bit earlier, just to kind of give you a broad idea. And then you can look in more details, thinking like, this conclusion actually, you know, is very relevant for what I'm writing about. I will go to a kind of search and retrieve type of reading, where I will look more in more detail about the method. For example, let's say you read the conclusion of an article and you think, I want to know more about this type of semi-structured interviewing or whatever method it may be and how those academics used it. And then I will go into the methodology section and learn more about that and use this kind of search and retrieve style to write the key ideas that I will use on that section. But yeah, as I said, in all, you can have, it's kind of like, you know, it starts from a surface reading and then that's, you know, more, it's broader, more sources, then you search and retrieve in some of the readings that you want to know more detail about certain aspects or arguments or sections of the reading. And then you would do, in a way, less critical reading, less detailed critical note-taking, but you still have to do that in order to be able to demonstrate this in your essays or dissertations. But critical reading can actually come from you identifying a reading, doing some surface reading, then thinking, this method is interesting. I will go more into this section. And let's say I read the methodology section in full, maybe some of the results tables, and then actually think this reading is really crucial. It's, you know, really central to my topic. So therefore I will read it again from start to finish and actually think about what's my own perspective on this, or, you know, if whether I identify any gaps in the knowledge. Okay, so the purpose. So the type of notes that you take depends on the purpose of the note taking. And there are many different categorizations of those purposes in academic skills writing on this topic, but I would categorize them into three core topics. So summative notes, those answer usually the what question. You know, what's this reading about? What are its very key points? You know, surface reading that I showed in the graph usually leads to kind of summative short notes, kind of bullet points notes that just kind of go on the surface of the key topics and ideas of the reading. So in a way, you can think about those summative notes as the headlines of your reading. And for some readings, you may only need the headlines, and for others, you may have to go in more detail. And what really helps to do a lot of summative notes is to effectively use contents pages, indexes, headings, and some subheadings that will improve those skills to be able to summarize the what question of the reading very quickly. Then the second category, I would say, so from summative notes that kind of correspond to this surface reading layer, then you can go on the kind of the search and retrieve layer from the graph I showed in the last slide, is detailed notes. So it's detailing the summative notes, answering also the questions of how. So what kinds of evidence does this article use, for example? You know, what kind of detail can you write about? Let's say the reading uses like three different experiments to study a particular topic. What is the detail of, you know, behind those experiments? And detailed notes go a bit beyond the summative notes. They add more detail about the evidence, about the methods, but they do remain descriptive. So in a way, it's a more descriptive reporting of what the reading is about. And then finally, we go onto the top of the graph in the last slide, critical notes, which answer the question why, especially why from your own interpretation, you know, answering questions such as, what is my own critical reflection on this reading? Do I challenge the author's perspectives or assumptions? How do I personally situate this reading amongst the other readings? And critical notes, the difference is that they're not descriptive, they're analytical as well. They contain your own analysis and interpretation. And a good way that I think, you know, can be used to think about, what is the difference? How do I know I take critical notes that will help me develop critical thinking? Is that you can go as detailed as you want with notes, but they won't be critical unless they not only identify and list or describe the argument, but also evaluate. So it's about the next step of evaluation. So you can have detailed notes identifying and detailing on the argument, the evidence, the conclusions, and other aspects, but they won't necessarily evaluate. And yeah, especially for books, I think what helped me a lot is reading different reviews as well, because that could develop your critical thinking and see different perspectives of what other people found as limitations in those books, for example. So we have, I think, a question on the chat before we move on to the next slide. Yes, so will I get the notes for this PowerPoint presentation? So yes, after each seminar, for those who joined after the last session, so for each seminar, I will send an email some point on Thursday evening with an attachment of the recording. So this session is recorded, so you can listen to it again and to your colleagues' contributions as well in the session. And then for each week, I am compiling a note. Our PhD team is compiling some notes of this presentation, and this will contain everything that's on the slides and a bit more as well. So it will contain all the information on the slides and a couple of other, you know, exercises that you may want to do, not mandatory, or other kind of resources that you may want to look at for the week's topic. So yeah, that email will be sent later today. Okay, so now, so Charlie asked a question as well. Could I just use the sources from a review or using the original source book is absolutely required? That's actually is a very interesting question, because, you know, some academics do have mixed views on this. So my personal, and a lot of my colleagues, colleagues who are markers, interpretation of this is that when, let's say I read a review of a book, or even I read an article that quotes some other theory. So let's say I read an article about, I don't know, social capital in a certain context, and then they reference Bourdieu's theories. So I would still expect the student, I mean, for a high mark, so it depends on what grade we look at, but to get like a distinction or a first, I still expect the student to have, you know, the curiosity to look at the original source in a way. But yeah, it doesn't mean that you can't use a bracket saying, you know, this author cited in this other reading, but it is better because what if you look at the original source and cite original sources, even if they're quoted in another reading, it does look that it does demonstrate to the marker that the student read the reading, found the author of that reading using a particular theory, and then went to the theory and actually did some further reading on that actual theory to understand and develop their critical thinking on the initial reading. So it does show a higher level of critical engagement. However, this doesn't mean that there aren't articles that use brackets saying this author cited in this other author. It's still quite common in academic articles and books. But I would say, yes, if you do, especially if it's something that's very essential to your topic, do read the original source. Okay, so, yeah, okay. So I will move on because I want to leave some time for the live kind of note-taking strategies as well. So I will try to go through the next slide of theory quite quickly. I won't stop for more comments. I will take more comments when we want to do the live exercise, so we make sure we get through all the theory before we get onto the practice part. So let's say, so you identify the purpose of your notes and you think, okay, I need to do some summative notes to get a broad perspective on this particular subfield, and maybe I'll do some detailed notes on some readings that are more directly relevant to my question. And then I really go into detail and think critically about those core readings that will be the basis of my argument, the basis of my evidence in the literature review. Then after you identify the purpose, each type of note, so whether you do summative, detailed, critical notes or other categorizations of notes you may find in other academic skills books, each type of note can use different methods as well. And it's quite important to think, I would say no method is right or wrong, it all depends on the purpose. And so also depends on what works best for your learning style. You know, how do you learn best from reading? Some people have more visual memory, some people have an audio memory. So like different strategies work differently for different students depending on your learning style. And there are different ways you can organize the notes. So you can have, basically the same text, whether it's a summative, a detailed text or a critical text, and organize it in mind maps, diagrams, system maps, in a table format, in, you know, just an outline style, like some of you did for today, heading by heading, annotating as you go, put comments on printed copies or on the... Yeah, on a software like Adobe Acrobat, for example, or any PDF annotator. Or also some students that I know use also audio recorder notes. So some students have written notes and then an audio recording of their notes. It depends how much time you have to prepare, but this in a way could actually help you speak in your own words because you can read the reading and just do this exercise, just try it. You do a reading, maybe write some notes that are partly copy-pasted or like just bullet points, and then you can put on your phone recording and say, what have I actually learned from this this reading? Can I actually summarize this in like, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes? And then you can, it's a good exercise if you like recording to do. And you can like write down any ideas you may have, and you know, this is just one format that's, you know, quite widely used in lecture notes. It's called the corner method. So the idea is to, you know, have the subject at the top, have the notes, let's say, you know, during the lecture, you write some notes as the lecturer speaks, or, you know, write some notes from the reading. You know, you do a summary perhaps, and then you have like a column that you leave blank, and then you think about what I can actually remember from this a few days later, what else can I add? And this way could develop your critical thinking a bit more later on. Finally, after you choose your method of note-taking, each type of notes can also use different tools. So it really depends. I mean, for me, it depends how much space you have at home, like whether you want to store a lot of notebooks like the ones that I showed on the first slide. But you can use different kind of physical note taking or also digital. So you can use whatever favorite stationery you have. I find particularly useful to have color coded files and folders for different topics or lectures because I have a more visual memory. So again, it depends on your learning style and what helps you. So if having notes on just the white pieces of paper written the same way are not appealing to you, and if you think that you may benefit having more colored coded folders, then go for that tool. And also a range of digital methods as well. So from simple text documents to kind of PDF annotations, like we saw in some of your examples for the home exercise. But also it may be worth looking at, depending on your learning style again, whether a note management software would be suitable for you, especially to keep your notes more organized. I mean, those here on the slide are just very, very few examples. There's probably hundreds of note management software. So I put on the notes of this this class that I will send you via email, I put at the bottom in the resource box, you'll see later on today that I put some reviews of those note-taking software. So yeah, again, it depends what works for you. Okay, so now I will check the chat again. So there are no more comments on the chat. So we'll do, I'll have to close the screen share and probably start it again because I have another screen with this this exercise. But first of all, I'll just explain how this will work and then I will change the screen share and start on the exercise. So I will look at two main methods of note taking. So we'll work on a different text that you haven't seen before, that I haven't read in detail before. So I'll just walk you through the process of how you can take notes in a quicker way or in a more detailed way, depending on your purpose. And the first method I will look at is search find note method following an outline style. And we'll look at, because we don't have time to go through a 10-20 page reading in 20 minutes or so with two different methods. For the first method, I will look at a couple of paragraphs from a particular section and show you how to note take using this style. One style that I commonly use, and it's quite helpful if you want more descriptive bullet pointed notes, is having different kind of layers of bullet points saying, notes on the main topics. Maybe this could be, let's say the article has five key arguments or five key findings, let's say. And then you can have the first findings here saying, this is the first finding. And those are some like subtopics slash like sub points of the finding, and then noting, different, supporting evidence, or like, let's say if there was an original research article saying, well, there's some supporting evidence of what was the, some of the statistics they use or some of the actual evidence they use for that sub point. And then we'll move on after we do this example first. We'll use the same reading for both. We'll look at an analytical style of note taking, so moving from descriptive to analytical using the same reading. And this is a structure that I personally use in my own critical reading, looking at the key argument, noting the main methods, the key points, evidence, and then very crucially, what makes the difference between descriptive and analytical is looking at adding your own critique on this. So, I will show, because we don't have time to go through every single part of the reading. Of course, I will send you the reading so you can practice continuing this exercise at home in your own time. But I will show you, it's more about the process of, having to write your critique. Where do you even start looking at? What kind of sections of the reading do you actually start looking at in order for you to develop those critical points in your own words? Okay, so I will close this screen share and start it again on the other slide. So it'll be like maybe 30 seconds. You can think about any questions and put them on the chat meanwhile for the Q&A section. So I will, okay. So share screen. No, I think it's still on the PowerPoint. Sorry about this. I will have to change the screen. Okay, so I hope everyone can see this now. I mean, I tried to put both the reading and the kind of note taking. I'm not sure if it's too small to see. Because I'm not sure how to put both documents on the screen at the same time. I hope it does work fine now. So you can see the reading on one side here, and then we can do some note taking here on this document. So if you have a reference management or note management software, you can obviously have the notes in the same kind of window. But yeah, a lot of students do take notes separately. So, you know, either on pen and paper or on the document. So we'll just do this now, and then maybe in other demonstrations I could show different software, but I will have to download those softwares before. I use this Adobe Acrobat Reader, which is quite good to do everything like highlighting, commenting on the text, and, you know, doing kind of brief notes on this. Then I use a separate document to write my more detailed notes, the detailed notes that I take, or especially my own points, and then organize them in a reference manager. So of course, it's up to you to decide which strategy works best for you in your note taking. Okay, so the first method that I put here is, let me put it on a separate page, the critical note taking. And there's way too many things on my screen now with the Zoom chat as well. So. So usually we use a kind of search find note strategy when we know what we want to identify. Like we know that, let's say I want to find a particular thing in a reading. I want to find out how this method was used on this particular topic, or who argued this particular thing in the literature, or who argued against it, or what is the main argument on this particular aspect. And I already know what I'm going to. What I'm looking out after in the reading. So, for example, this reading that I put here, that is the one that we use for this exercise.
So sorry to cut you off, Alexandra. I just wanted to say that is it a good idea to maybe make the PDF a bit bigger so that it stretches out to the sides? Are we going to add something to the sides, or is it not doing that?
So it's supposed to be a PDF document here and the notes here.
So I think all that I see is just a PDF document. I don't see any notes. I mean, unless you mean the one part of the PDF. Do you mean like, because you know, on the side it says create PDF, combine files, edit PDF. I see that, but I don't see any other document open.
The Word document as well. I don't think this was shared. Let me try again. It should be like one side of the screen a PDF and one side.
I see. I guess maybe it's like share screen. I'm not sure. Yeah.
No, I'll try again the screen sharing now.
Cheers. Cheers. Yeah. And I think a bit later when you have time, Gina had a question, but obviously take your time. Oh, okay. That's great. I see both of them. Yeah, I see both of them now. That's excellent. I think you can even, you know, on the PDF thing, you can press that little kind of button to make the thing go to the side, so you don't see create PDF combine. Like, you know, if you go down a bit with the, you see that like that little kind of triangle thing, that's like, so you see where it says fill and sign, and then if you move your mouse a bit to the left, and then there's that little button there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just so that it's a bit easier to see. Sorry about being so specific.
No, so that so that document work now. So can you see the Word document as well?
Yeah, that looks excellent now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so the idea was to kind of have both on the screen. So because so normally good. That's how we would take notes. But of course, you can imagine that's pen and paper as well. And you just have the PDF on the screen. Yeah, the first method is kind of, as I said, is like kind of a quick search find note method. So we have about maybe like 15 minutes left before the Q&A, and I do want you to ask questions and we'll discuss some more thoughts from you guys. So I will just go through the process of how do you start on those methods, those note-taking methods for each of the strategies, and where to look, because the most important thing is to identify, especially if you want to take very efficient notes, is where to look for your information. So the search find note kind of method is very useful if you know what you're looking for. So let's say I'm writing an essay on, I selected both readings for today on note taking strategies, so you can also see the research behind note taking. So let's say I write an essay on different note taking strategies in UK academia. And I know that, empirically speaking, some lecturers offer lecture notes before the class, some lecturers do offer lecture notes after the class, and some lecturers don't do lecture notes at all. And some I may record the lectures, others don't. So there's a lot of different strategies of using lecture notes or not in UK academia. And I want to know, let's say for my essay, one of the things I want to explore in the literature is how useful are lecture notes. So students may like lecture notes, they may find them useful, but are they actually improving anything? Are they actually improving students' grades? Can we see a correlation or any kind of relation between how lecture notes can improve your grades or can improve your understanding of the topic or any other variable? So let's say that my question is just how useful are lecture notes? So for this, I found this reading, note-taking and university students with learning difficulties. So let's say that I will have a case study of how useful lecture notes are for students in the UK who have learning difficulties in UK undergraduate programs, for example. So that's my research question. And I found this reading that I think, it's quite, it's very relevant to my topic. And I looked, scrolled through the reading, and I observed there a lot of different headings. So first of all, I would look at the method. I'll look at the abstract. I'll read the abstract. I wouldn't read this loud so we can go through the process for both strategies. So I look at the abstract, and then I realize this is a literature review of all the literature on the different support that university students with learning difficulties need in the classroom. So I say that's a great article to start with because it's a literature review done by another academic that would actually give me an understanding of the field and where to start my more detailed research. So it's an ideal type of article to do a search find note strategy. So my question again to remind you is how useful are lecture notes? And we see a lot of different, I look through the reading and there are a lot of different headings. And then we see the keywords. I mean, you can do control F and do the keywords and find the keywords as well. So we see different types of headings. And then we think, okay, so there's a heading saying the utility of instructor provided lecture notes. So that basically is how useful are lecture notes provided by lecturers. So then we can skim read this part and try to identify the main argument. And then I will put the main point here. So it may be that lecture notes are extremely useful and they do make a difference in those three aspects. They do make a difference on academic performance. They do make a difference on students' grades, and they do make a difference on students' wider experience of the course or satisfaction with the course, for example. But then again, this could be, it's a very targeted method that I just look at what's my question, then look at the heading that relates to my question. And then I will see that the subheadings would relate to how note-taking relates to different aspects. So here in my main point, I would write usually the main argument. So from this part of the reading, So I would say that this is a literature review reading again. So I would say most studies find that lecture notes are useful. For a variety of purposes. And then, because I have different subheadings, and then I'll have the subpoints always. So, for example, you see here the first heading will say, okay, this note taking is useful, and it relates to academic performance. So my first subpoint would be, how does note taking relate to academic performance? And then I will put here in the sub this subheading argument, I may put a different bullet point and read this part, this subpart, which is only one paragraph. So let's look at this one to see what kind of subpoints are here. So they speak about, because the literature review, they speak about how there was a meta-analysis involving 33 studies that examined the effect of note-taking and learning experience. And then here is your argument. Here is your key sub-point here. He found that instructor-provided notes significantly heightened the post-test scores of students who took and reviewed class notes. So you could include, you could think about how do I summarize this in my own words and include it as a sub point. So you can say that, so you can quote the study so you remember what was quoted. And again, as Charlie asked about reading original sources, you may think this study is actually very relevant to go into more detail, and then you go and find this study and read in more detail. But for the time being, for this kind of quick note taking to identify the main trends in literature, you can just write it down as it is and maybe put a comment, a note to yourself to find it later. And then you have the key argument. And then you have the key argument from here that that notes significantly increased for students, and so you and you go on, and you have the second point, then you have sub point number two, providing notes before and after lectures. So the second sub point would be, is there any difference if notes are provided before or after lectures? And then you go on, and as I showed you before, you do kind of support, you have your main argument and you have the evidence. And this is quite a quick way to do notes. It may not seem quick, but if you are only interested in one question, like how useful are lecture notes, it may be that this article has only a couple of pages on this question with three different subheadings, and then you write a few bullet points, and then you're probably done in like half an hour or so with this reading, and you can move on to the next one and do the same method. Now, in the last 5 minutes or so before we move on to the question and answer, and yeah, of course, I do encourage you to try different strategies at home to kind of see what works for you. So I would recommend choosing a reading that's actually relevant for your essay or dissertation that you're currently working on, and do kind of two different note-taking styles. So you may want to choose a reading that you want to read at the moment for your essay, and say, maybe I do a quick search find note note style using pen and paper, and then maybe do another notes method using another different method. So you can actually see what works for you. And that's the first step to be effective in your note-taking, is identify what methods and tools work for you. So moving on to the critical note taking. So I do find this kind of structure really useful for my own note taking. And you can formatted in a table format, or you can just have, you know, different software that, you know, splits the page in different sections, and you can write on this side and then write on the other side and have a summary at the bottom, like the model that I showed you in the slides. So as I mentioned in the theory part, so the difference between having, because you can have very descriptive notes like this. Let's say that, I don't know, like half of the reading is very relevant to your topic. So you can have really detailed notes going through main points and sub points, searching and noting what you actually will use. But then the difference is, as the theory showed in the earlier slides, is that you have, after, you know, you can have detail identifying those main points and sub points, identifying the argument, identifying the conclusion, identifying the evidence that the author uses here. But then you have to go a step further and add your own critique and your own interpretation. So you still go through similar steps, but maybe reading in more detail than the stop, than the search and find note. So you still have, you know, the key topic and argument. So this is a literature, this is a literature review. It's a review article on the literature on you know, university students with learning difficulties and the support they need in the classroom. So you can write that as a topic. You look at the main methods. That's again something that is search and find. So you look at the methods section. The research for this literature review has been gathered into two phases. So, and then it explains how they use search terms for the systematic literature review. So the main method here will be systematic literature review in two phases. And then you can add, you know, details if it's relevant for your essay on how they actually did search this literature systematically. The key points are usually summarized quite helpfully in the headings and in the topic sentence of or the first sentences of each section. So you can look again, skim quickly, and look through the different headings. So you can have if you're interested in how useful were lecture notes. And whether they're useful, if they were sent in advance or not, or if you're interested in the practice recommendations of this review article. So you can put like different key points. Usually I would recommend going by heading. So like, what is the key point in each heading? So here, for example, just to give you one example, you could, let's say that you wrote the key point of each main part of the article, and then you reach the practice recommendations section. And then you can see very quickly, so they discuss five recommendations. So you can say five recommendations and enumerate them, or perhaps explain them in your own words in one sentence or two. So the key point section of this format is again to summarize, but a bit more thoroughly than you do in a very quick search and find what you'll actually use method. And then again, relevant evidence is perhaps not as relevant in a literature review type of article, apart from saying that this article is based on reviewing 400 sources or 500 sources or however many they used in the systematic review and what kind of keywords or software they used, which is more part of the methods anyway. But in most of the readings you do, this will be based on original research. So the relevant evidence will be other kind of theories and studies that the article or the reading refers to, but it will also be the original evidence, the empirical evidence of the research if it's a research-based article. And finally, after you do those steps, you and you kind of say, I don't know, like let's say the reading was based on, you know, interviews or whatever, you can kind of say what was the relevant evidence that supported the conclusions or supported the key points of the article. And finally, which is the what actually makes the difference between a more descriptive, because so far it can be quite descriptive, but perhaps doing this in a more organized way could help you think about your critique. And a good way to start about thinking, you know, how do I interpret this article? How do I bring my own perspective? Is there anything that's that I could add to this discussion. A good way to do that I adopt is actually start, I mean, after you read the article and after you have all those this information written down and have a detailed understanding of the arguments and the conclusions, the best question to ask at that stage is, is the conclusion supported by evidence? So after reading all this article, having read the arguments, identify the arguments, identify the evidence, you evaluate, you think, is this conclusion actually supported by the evidence? And another tip to think about, to start thinking about your own interpretation and critique, is actually look at what the author themselves, what the authors themselves noted as limitations. So most articles would have a section around discussion, and often some writers include some limitations of their research in the discussion section, but sometimes the articles would have a specific subsection on the limitations of the research. And after reading that, it's very useful to think, can I add anything more on this? A final tip to think about your own critique is to actually think about the method. This is a systematic literature review, so it's kind of organizing the literature on this particular topic in themes and so on. So you can, of course, criticize the method if you look at the methodology section and you think, well, those keywords that are very relevant to this topic are missing from the description of how they search for this literature. But you can also criticize more the content. So let's say you read this article and the vast majority of the sources quoted in this literature, systematic literature review, use a particular type of method. So let's say all the sources that are quoted and used as examples use experiments as a way to study this topic of note-taking and university students with learning difficulties. So you may think, and here's how your critical thinking comes into place, you may think, why did no one use interviews? Or why did no one use like focus groups? Or why did no one use those other methods? And then if you can make an argument of why using these other methods could have been beneficial to uncover a particular aspect of the research, then you do have a critical interpretation or analysis of this article as well. So yes, there are many ways that you can think about, but I would say look at, after you identify the argument and the main and the conclusions, think about, does the conclusion, can I understand the conclusion in the light of the evidence? Does the evidence presented in the article support the conclusion? Do I have anything to add about the methods? Would it have been beneficial if this topic was studied with a different method or from a different perspective or with a different theoretical framework? And also start from the author's own limitations, because the authors do identify usually limitations, and think about, can I add anything to it? And then, of course, it becomes more detailed depending on the topic and depending on, of course, if you have a empirical research article and you find some problem with the data or some problem with the statistical test or the analysis, it's again your own critical interpretation of it as well. So I will now stop the screen share and go to the very last slide before I take any questions. So I think because we have a few minutes left, if you have a question that you already have in your mind, please do put it on the chat, because I could go more quickly through the chat. But of course, you're welcome to ask questions with the voice as well. So I'll stop sharing now and then start sharing the other screen. Okay. Those kind of live note-taking usually to take me like, an hour or over an hour to take, critical notes of a reading. So I hope it did help you kind of think through the process and what questions should you ask, because often, the main barrier that we face when we do readings at university is that we don't know where to look for information or where to start or what kind of questions could shape our critical skills and could get us to take that originality and good use of sources tick boxes in the marking criteria. So We'll go to some, you know, if anyone has any questions now at the end, just to let you know that next week, Anastasia, who is on the call now with us, will be teaching seminar 3, which will be on how to create an essay plan. I will send an essay planning exercise via email on Monday morning, as I send the last one. So it will be very helpful if you have time at home. Same as this week's, it wouldn't take you more than an hour, maybe half an hour to do it. So it will be very helpful for Anastasia to be able to provide some feedback on your plans. And again, we'll use those examples in class at the beginning and then go through some different ways to structure your essay depending on the question and depending on your purpose. So do make sure that you check your inbox before the Thursday class and ideally a bit before that so you do have time to look at the exercise. So I'll stop the screen share now and take any questions and answer any questions that you may have. But yeah, I do hope that, you know, as I said before, note-taking is the foundation of good essays. So if you get the skill right, if you get note-taking to be efficient and to be able to adopt different methods of note-taking depending on your purpose, then you're already fulfilled, you know, the first step towards having an excellent essay. So we'll stop the screen share now and take any questions from the chat or voice. Okay, I'm just checking the chat if I missed anything during the slides.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Please ask your question.
This is Damila. I have a question. Thanks for the whole thing. It's really eye-opening. If there is an experimental study, you know, we were looking at an observational study.
Yeah.
The article. If there is an experimental study in the section that has to do with my critique. You know, most times in experimental studies tries to establish an alternative hypothesis, you know, to disprove the null hypothesis. Now, if you want to do your own critiquing, aside limitations, you know, the limitations of the experiment, you know, experiment conducted, maybe in terms of the research methodology, what are the other things that one could add to the critique that could, because definitely you can't be critiquing. If you are critiquing it, that means you're supporting the null hypothesis that the article is even trying to disprove, you know, in first place. So how do you now, aside the limitations of the experiment, how do you critique an experimental study?
Okay, so yeah, thanks for your question. I think that's, you identified correctly one of the ways. So like, you know, the first thing that I will look in any kind of empirical study, including those using experiments, is looking at the limitations of the actual research. And it already shows that you did think about the data and how the data was used. But if you want to go a step further and think more critically about this, I would look at, you know, a lot of empirical studies use some sort of theoretical background. So one way to question the study is also look at like what particular perspective or angle or theory or any kind of assumptions that the study has. So you can look at that depending really on the study. But then I think the core question, it really depends, it's a good point because it depends on the type of the reading. It's very different. Your critical skills on a very theoretical text will be a bit different than on a experimental study or any kind of empirical work. But I would also say critical thinking can also be shown by criticizing a different group of studies. So let's say if there you look at one particular topic and everyone in the field use the same method and you actually think, you know, why didn't no one use this particular method? Or why didn't no one sample, you know, use this type of sample for, you know, or sample that particular way. So it doesn't need to be like the critical thinking doesn't necessarily need to be on every single reading that you do, but you may do some, I don't know, like 10 different readings and do some descriptive notes of each reading, and actually your critical thinking may emerge when you think about the readings as a group or a subfield, thinking about this is what is missing from the subfield, or this is how, you know, what other methods can be used. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. So I would say it depends on the type, but apart from the limitations, look if there are any theoretical underpinnings, look if there are any assumptions that could be questioned, but also look at the study, situating it in a subfield or broader kind of body of literature, and see if there's anything missing there. I'll go through some of the questions in the chat because I'm aware of time. So we did start 5 minutes later. We did start at 2:05, but I'll just quickly go through the chat. And then next week, if there are any questions, I could take a note of them and address them next. I'll pass them to Anastasia to address them next week as well. So let's try to go through all of the questions on the chat. Okay, so the one on the original source is the last one I answered, I think. So Gina asks, do you have any strategies that you check if you understand a complicated theoretical paper? Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because often, often the text can be quite complicated and you may not be sure that you understood it. I would say that, you know, asking those questions in class, like, you know, if you have like a course on a particular, using particular theories, then like, of course, asking those questions in class is a good way to clarify those. But, you know, other than that, at home, I think you do know when you understood a certain perspective. I think it's very difficult to say, like, other than, like, you know, when I read a reading, if I don't understand it from the first time, I try to read it again using different strategies. So I may try to read, you know, one paragraph and actually stop, put the reading away and actually think about it for a few moments, rather than reading all the reading at the same time. And I may find another reading that uses a similar theoretical framework, and maybe that would be easier to read in a way, and it could be the foundation of me understanding a more complex text using the same theory. So I put in the notes for this seminar, I put a couple of sources. So there's like one chapter from a study skills book that actually looks at how to read complicated texts as well. So there are some tips there on that could be useful, apart from the ones that I just gave. What if one source just supports my argument? Can I not criticize? Yes, I mean, it's usually unusual to find something that will argue exactly identically what you do, but of course a lot of sources would support and help build our arguments. And you, of course, if you have any criticism to it, you can criticize even if it does support your argument. For example, in my own PhD, I use some sources that broadly support some of my findings. So, let's say different authors wrote about how to explain negative attitudes towards immigration in the UK, which is my topic. And some found some things that I also found, but some found some other findings that are a bit more nuanced that are not necessarily aligned with my findings. And I do still criticize some of their methods. I do still criticize some of the theories they use and how relevant some of the work in those readings is in the current context. So yes, you do, short answer, you can still criticize even if it supports your argument. So Jansu says, for my dissertation, I've noticed that I have to read some different types of readings like working paper, gray literature, and government policy. In this case, it seems hard for me to develop critical thinking or finding something to add. How would you take notes for this kind of readings? That's a very interesting question. I think, you know, working papers, I do treat them as, you know, perhaps not as critically or something that's peer reviewed and published, because there's still a work in progress, but you can still have applied the same techniques to develop your critical thinking, because a working paper will still have some gaps. And in a way, with a working paper, it's actually easier to suggest other things, because if I have a project, it's a work in progress, and I publish something, and actually the authors do often quite openly invite comments on that. So I'm sure you could apply the same strategies. In terms of policy, I mean, it really depends on the area. So for example, I work on on immigration, you know, my academic topic. And one of the key things that I criticized throughout my thesis is the hostile environment policies in the UK. And there's many other sources that you can find to criticize that. So I would say that you can't necessarily apply the same techniques to a policy document or legislation, but you can use other sources from academic readings that use that policy as a case study, or kind of show through your own original research how that policy affects certain variables. So you do still, I mean, can criticize certain things or agree with them or show how the policy actually works and is effective. Okay, and how do you and the second part of the question is, how do you take notes? I would say any kind of strategy of taking notes does apply regardless of the reading. Your headings and some headings may be different because certain gray literature sources of or policies won't have the same kind of structure as an academic article. However, I still think you can apply the three core, you can think about them as the three core strategies, like, do I need summative notes, do I need detailed notes, or do I need critical notes? And I think the key takeaway to remember is that for some readings, you'll only need summative notes. If I just want to see who spoke about this particular topic in this field and what are the key arguments, I could start with summative notes, then do detailed notes on some readings, and then do critical notes on fewer readings and look at them in more detail. And this process would actually help you to select what readings are relevant for you. I'll take a final question from Victoria, because I'm really conscious of time, and some of you may have other things to do as well. When dealing with an unfamiliar topic in an urgent time, how can I quickly find the reading materials I need based on searching the keyword in the topics? So, I mean, do you mean to find, I think you mean that to find the sources when you have a key topic. So let's say if you want to research a certain topic, how do you find? There's sort of different strategies. Of course, you can type in key words on your library search. I use a lot like or and sources. So for example, I'm rushing to answer some questions. So I use my immigration example again. So if I want to look at who wrote about Polish migrants in the UK in the Brexit context, a lot of articles will use immigration, some will use migration, some will use expats, some will just use Romanian Polish citizens. So I use a lot of like and or searches for my keyword search to be able to get the articles that actually fit with what I'm finding. That's the very first step. And then I would look what the second step that I will do once I find the reading that's important for the topic and it's relevant to my topic. I'll look at the reading's bibliography. So let's say I found one article that's relevant on immigration in the Brexit context. And then I will look at the bibliography and look at who does this author cite, and then see, this article is also relevant. And then I will search that article. And often looking at abstract and keywords in the abstract would help you define your key terms as well. Victor says that Damilare also raised his hand. So maybe a final question. Final question from Damilare then.
Well, thank you. I want to know how one can blend the analytical note-taking into the body of one's essay, how you can blend it into it. Like when you're taking the notes, you have it in front of you, you have your essay, you want to start writing. How do you blend it into the essay? That's my question.
Yeah, I think that's maybe some question to address in more detail next week in the structure, but especially in week 4 for the argument. Because I think, once you have the notes, I think it really depends on what kind of structure is expected of the essay. So in a lot of master's dissertations, you would have a standard literature review part of your dissertation. And I think the question is, how do you organize your literature review? I tend to organize my literature reviews thematically, because for my topics, there's no such a relevance of kind of having like a more historic approach. So if I will have like a pile of reading notes, and I will think, okay, so I did all those readings. I have my own ideas and interpretations of those readings. Can I group them into kind of key themes or key perspectives? How do those perspectives connect? I think it's more about like when you start planning and building your argument. In terms of how to reference those, like we'll look at this later on in the course. But I think what's important here is to think that about the paragraph structure. So I think that could actually help you think about how you incorporate those reading notes. So each paragraph, as we looked at in the taster session as well, is having, you know, making sure you have a topic sentence. So let's say that, you know, what this paragraph is about, having a topic sentence, having a couple of sentences that explain that main idea, and then using your readings as well as examples and evidence of that key idea in the paragraph. And how to incorporate, I think it really depends, it so much depends on the specific topic and how you structure your essay or dissertation. But as a general rule of showing the analytical aspect of your note-taking is not to simply list and summarize sources, but actually show how those sources connect. So not only saying, this author argued this and this other author also argued this, or this other author argued against this, but actually showing how those connect. So for example, if you found a common theme saying, you know, many scholars spoke about this particular topic. For example, this scholar researched this topic via interviews and found this, but this other scholar who did an experimental study on the same topic actually had contradicting findings on this. So kind of, we'll look at this more when we look at how to build the argument and how to plan essays. But yeah, I think it's a very relevant question, and it really depends on this actual structure of and the length of the piece of work that you're doing, and whether it actually needs a literature review as a separate section or not. So yeah, I will leave this here then, because I'm aware we're like over time. So thanks everyone, and I will send to everyone the class exercise on Monday, and next week we'll be with Anastasia.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that, Alexandra. That's really fantastic. It's a really great session. Thank you so much for the contribution, everyone. And again, if any questions, so I understand, Alexandra, that if people have questions that they email, do we send them an email with all the answers, or how do we do that? Just to remind.
For some of the questions, I mean, some of the questions were addressed today. So did get the answers. But in general, I think that if you have questions during the week, unless it's something specific about like the logistics of the seminar, I think the best way is to address those questions. Perhaps every 10 minutes, first 10 minutes of the class each week, we can take some time to address any questions that can come through the email. Because often I find that, you know, students do have very important questions that are quite similar. So it may be a couple of you who have the same thing. So it will benefit everyone to address them at the beginning of the class. And of course, for the weeks where Anastasia or Kari or Summer will be teaching, I will pass those questions to them as well. So to make sure that they're addressed in the class.
And it's great to also... Sorry, Alexandra. I think it's also great to have the opportunity to be able to have discussion, because I think that helps to have clarity. So I think that's one really nice thing, rather than, you know, the same question being emailed by different people and then kind of not having the chance to so much kind of see the other individual's thoughts, which is really valuable. Okay, that's excellent. The final thing I want to say is that if anybody has any feedback about something they want more of or less of during the course, then again, feel free to email me, feel free to email Alexandra, and just let us know. So for example, if maybe you want more discussion, maybe if you want more practical live sessions, maybe if you want anything else more of, just let us know, and we'll be really happy to apply that. Good. So I think that's all for today then. As Alexandra said, next week, Anastasia is going to be teaching. So that's going to be very exciting to have her do the first lesson. And for today, that's all then. Okay. So again, thank you so much again, Alexandra. There's some very nice comments from people saying thank you.